All right. Okay. Just a quick announcement, folks. Those of you who's going to start attending Bible studies, because again, my main webpage, for some particular reason, when I try converting that thing over to HTML5, something is messing up in what they call header 1, header 2, and header 3. And it's not allowing the sidebars to load up, and it's just got it all whack. And I tried making some changes for some announcements for people to see, and it's just not right. So for right now, it's best for folks to come in the chat room to get updated. But RW, she's going to be using Zoom for doing her Bible studies. This G-Chat, or we call it the audio room, I still got 30 days left on it before they officially shut it down. It's not because of me not paying it. It's just the company that runs this room has sent me a notice coming the end of October, starting November. This is it. It's going to be gone. So I may have to do a test run in Zoom once or twice, too, prior to the expiration of this thing to make sure everything works. But what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get a hold of all the chat people and contacts and trying to get them to get installed. And poor Villagen is having problems because he went to install it, and it just seemed like nothing's working. So I got a lot of try catching up to do, but man, I just got so much to do, and it's hard to get caught up with everybody to get this thing installed. So we're just going to have to be patient. So for right now, I'm going with this, audio, room instead of Zoom, but, eventually I'm going to have to be using it. This is with the new platform, and it does work well. Thanks to Fred. Fred was the one that pointed it out to us. And so far, RW, I don't know how did it work out for you Tuesday, because I couldn't load mine, and, it was just too late, and I had to cut grass. So did it work out okay? Did it sound all right? Or okay, so at least we know it's going to work. So be patient with us, folks. We're trying to get things sorted. And sooner or later, when I get caught up with the church website and get that built, because I have to build the Facebook thing, the church website, I have to work on some of the bylaws and stuff like that. So I'm just swamped, and I'm trying to do my best. And please forgive me if it don't seem like I'm talking to you when you log into the chat room. It's just I don't have a lot of time, folks. I'm hard pressed, probably it may be. So anyway, woo! It's Friday night, and guess what? It is sermon night, is what I call it. And friends, I'm glad that you're here. There are a few who are not here. Some's out of town. Some just got the real-life bug. They decided, hey, real life's more important than me trying to hang out and chat or listen to a message or Bible studies or whatever. But you know what, folks? That is what it is, and we're just going to keep pushing forward. That's all. Excuse me. But anyway, the message I was led to tonight, I don't know, about you, but, when I got sick really bad, and I'm going to tell you, folks, it almost took me out. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It literally almost took me out, because it got to a point where the toxins or the toxicity, because, me not able to get rid of the waste, it got into my bloodstream, and it got to the point, my wife, she was telling you, like, I wasn't even me. And there was points where I couldn't even figure out what I was doing, so it was close. But during that time and the pain and the hurting and the suffering, I tell you what, when you're in that situation, you start thinking a lot about God, and you really start talking to Him, and you're really doing a lot of praying, a lot of time sitting on that sofa all day long, my thoughts were with Him and talking to Him and pleading with Him. And it did open my eyes to some other things. And I tell you what, it made me get a little bit more closer to Him than I was not. Because I was close, but not that close. But this time, man, I tell you what, I really got close with Him. And it really led me to a lot of things. So, folks, or my dear friends, how many times have we heard people say, and I'm sure that you heard this, God will save all good people? I heard that a lot, and I'm pretty sure that you have. I heard a lot of people, oh, yeah, God will save all good people. And I kind of looked at them and gave them a funny look, because I already know the answer to that, and I think you do too. But folks, this implies that there are good people in all churches who will be saved. It also implies that there may even be good people who have never been members of any church who will also be saved. Will all good people, this is the question, will all good people be saved? Think about that one. So what does the Bible say? Well, RW beat me to it though, so. But what does the Bible say about that? See, you may be surprised in a lot of people when you tell them this. You know, when I hear that phrase or someone saying this, and I said, no, hold on, look, let me show you what the Bible says. And they are surprised because the Bible teaches that no one can never be good enough to be saved by his own goodness. Also, the Bible teaches us there is no one good except but one. Now, if people could be saved by their good deeds, then it would not have been necessary for Christ to die for our sins. Have you heard that? If people could be saved by their good deeds, folks, it would not have been necessary for Christ to die for our sins. That's a very interesting thought. You see, even the Apostle Paul himself, he wrote this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, he said this. He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wow. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, use the Koran when he's here. He's my scriptural poster, or however you call it. So I might have to find me somebody else that can start posting the scriptures for me, you know, on this. So I might talk to a few of you later. But if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, and verse 22. Starting with verse 1, it says, and then there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called an Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And verse 22 says, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to this house and to hear words from you. Thank you, brother, for posting those scriptures for me also. Appreciate it. Folks, let us go to pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather here tonight. And Father, the few that's here tonight, I ask of you to bless them, to touch them, help them whatever difficulties they may be facing with. Father, hear their prayers, hear their petitions. Let them know that you love them very much. And Father, I ask of you to allow the holy angels put a protective hedge around each one of them that's here tonight. Let them know that you love them very much, because I do. I really do love these folks when they come here, because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's always trying to point the glory back to you, Father. And this is all we're here for. And I'm glad that you're able to help us use this technology. I'm glad that you're able to present messages to me, because sometimes these messages speak to me, but a lot of times it may speak to these kind folks here tonight. Whatever the situation may be, Father, just be with us for the short little time. Put a protective hedge around us. Keep the evil one at bay, and allow your Holy Spirit present be here among all of us. Father, I thank you for loving me, taking care of me, watching out for me, and showing me what I need to do. I want to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. The title of this message, and I'm sure y'all seen if y'all logged into the chat room, because again, I hope to get that website fixed sometime, but the title of the message tonight, my friends, do good people need salvation? That's a good question. And I have people ask me that before. Do good people need salvation? So, as we looked at our text, we see a model of a good Samaritan. In fact, the scripture says that he is a devout man. He is a God-fearing man. He is a gracious man. He is a respectable man and a praying man. It described a lot about what Cornelius was all about. His name, we already know, is Cornelius. Along with those good qualities, the Bible says he was a centurion, a Roman military army man who was given a command of about 100 soldiers or so. And being a leader of this command, a person in his position would have to have certain qualities about him. The first one should be, he had to be patient, one who was calm and kept his head in the heat of the battle, slow to anger, slow to get involved in fights. Secondly, he was required to be a man of great courage and endurance who would rather die than face defeat or quit or run in the midst of a battle. Cornelius possessed some traits, characteristics, and qualities, folks, that all believers ought to possess. We all should possess those characteristics and those traits and those qualities, just as Cornelius showed. And as we've seen in verse 1 and also in verse 22, the Bible says, and this is not me, but it's the Word of God, the Bible says he feared God. There was a fear of God in his heart. And no doubt Cornelius was a deeply religious man. The scriptures also tells us that he feared God with all of his house. Cornelius had instructed his family to fear God. And no doubt this man is a good example to us followers here tonight. Or really, it should be a good example to all of us here tonight. See, the Bible says that he gave much alms to people. Cornelius was a giving and generous man when it came to charity, meeting the needs of the poor. He also prayed to God always, not just daily, not just when trouble came, but always, the Bible said. He prayed always. His prayer life, in fact, would put us to shame. It might put me to shame, because I tell you what, you know, after studying a little bit about Cornelius for this message tonight, I learned a lot. Like, I might be slacking in some of my areas. So I think I'm going to have to tighten up a little bit. But you know what? I'm not trying to put none of us down. I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to use him as an example. He probably would put us to shame. And last, the Bible says that he was a good report among the nation of the Jews. Listen, Cornelius was respected by the Jews. Folks, that says a lot. You see, in those days, Jews looked at the Gentile race merely as dogs. That's how they saw them. If you were a Gentile, you were looked down like a dog. They didn't have the respect or use, nor did they want to be seen next to or even stepping into the house of a Gentile such as Peter did. Jews didn't want to associate with them, but yet somehow or another, Cornelius himself was respected by the Jews. Cornelius was certainly good. Now listen to this very carefully. Cornelius was certainly good according to moral standards. All these things were wonderful, but could those things redeem him? Could those things bring remission of sin? Could those things wash away his sin? Could those things exempt him from the wrath of God? Could all those wonderful things bring forth salvation? Could they? So our question this night, can a man be all those wonderful things mentioned in verse 2 and 22 and yet be lost? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Can a man be all those wonderful things and yet be lost? Yes. Thank you, folks. Yes, you can. It's amazing, my friends, how amazing a man can be. And he can be all those things and yet still is not saved. Oh yeah, look. He was a good man, but unsaved. He was a God-fearing man, but unsaved. He was a gracious man, but unsaved. He was a praying man, wow, but unsaved. He was a respected man, but again, unsaved. Listen, good works plus a sincere religious belief are not, and I repeat, are not sufficient to guarantee a man's salvation. They're not. They do not guarantee salvation. And me personally, if you look around, our churches today are full of religious, good people with good moral standards. And guess what? They are still lost. There are many people just like Cornelius in the church's house today. There really are. Listen, many people are religious. Many are. But it's not satisfactory, friends. It's not. Look what Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 22 says. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, had made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Wow! Many are sincere, my friends. But again, it's not salvation. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, and y'all heard me read it just a little while ago. It says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And John chapter 3, verse 3 says this, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Uh-oh. Here's another one. Many are giving, but again, it's not sufficient. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 says this, that at the time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Woo-hoo. Now, another thing I have to give old Cornelius here, you know, I have to give him credit for this, for he was wise. He was. I got to give him credit. He was wise. You see, he didn't argue with the Lord when he had a conversation with Jesus the way, and I hate to say this, that we try to do today. He didn't argue with him. He did not. But many today try to whenever we are confronted with things. And notice what he did when Jesus confronted him. He bowed in his heart before God and his servant to hear the way of salvation. The psalmist says it best in chapter 119, verse 128. And he says this, therefore, your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Wow. So how else do we know that Cornelius needed salvation? How else do we know that? Well, in verse 22 of chapter 10, the Bible says, and pay attention to this, folks, Cornelius was warned by God. He was. He wasn't advised. Oh, no, my friends, he wasn't advised. It wasn't a suggestion. And it wasn't instruction, but a warning. It was a warning. It was a warning from God by a holy angel. That angel showed up and warned him, dude, you better get right or else. Now, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but I guarantee you, you know, if you had a real encounter with a holy angel from God, and if you are a non-believer, I guarantee you would probably have fear in your heart when you saw him or heard him. And sadly today, many Christians that I have dealt with and talked to, they seem like they don't have the fear of God no more in them. They don't. I don't know what's going on with them. Whether they lost that first love, whether or not they have been converted, whether or not they have grieved the Holy Spirit so badly, they don't fear God anymore, folks. We should fear God. And the problem is that I have ran into, folks, many ministers out there and many preachers out there. See, they don't want to preach about the wrath of God because really that's what God is all about, because that is, my friends, what we have been saved from, his wrath. They want to talk love, 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 love. But you know, folks are not getting it because they're not being told the truth. God is a God of wrath. And we should fear that. Whoa, we should fear that. Whoa. Thank God what Jesus did on that cross saved me from that wrath. I know he loves me now, but you know, that wrath was poured out upon me. Look, we all were under that wrath. And thank Jesus that he saved us from that. Because that, my friends, is what we are saved from. God's wrath. And preachers out there today will not preach that. All they want to do is water down the gospel, make everybody feel good, and a lot of people are missing the point. They're missing the mark. As Christians today, when they're witnessing to people, they are missing the mark because they don't want to cause offense to someone when they're trying to tell them the truth. I'm not afraid to speak the truth. If it steps on your toes, then it must be doing something right.
Yes, God loves us, but I'm not going to talk to you all about his love. I'm going to let you know if you are not born again, you are subject to his wrath. And if you died, guess what? I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. And just like that holy angel to when he approached Cornelius, you see, my friends, the warning he told him implies danger. Well, as we used to say, I don't know how many of you watch the old Lost in Space series, but I am. Danger, Will Robinson! Danger, Will Robinson! Folks, we ought to be saying, danger, so-and-so! Danger, so-and-so! You are under the wrath of God! And danger from what? We say, from an eternal hell. That's what those non-believers are going to face. Eternal hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And I guarantee many people in hell are believers today and crying out, why? Why? Why didn't you not warn me? Why did you not tell me about this awful place? And God is probably saying, we did. But you rejected the way out, my son. So don't cry out to me, why? You had a chance. You had a chance. So what did Cornelius do? Well, first let me tell you what he didn't do. Let me tell you, let me get this very clear. Let me tell you what he didn't do when he was warned. You ready for this? He didn't procrastinate. He didn't waste no time to say yes. See, the Bible says, and when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa to fetch Peter. Go get Peter! Go get him! Go get him! We need him here now! He sent them to Joppa to fetch Peter so he can tell him what he ought to do. Peter, come on so I can tell you what I need to do. And Cornelius didn't put it off like many people today when you talk to them about Christ. Oh, you know what, Pastor Jim, I'll think about it. I'll get back with you. Oh, Pastor, I'll be here next Sunday for church. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And I stand there at the pulpit and I wait at the door, and guess what? They don't come back. You call the house. Oh, well, I was busy. I had some things to do. And you try calling them again. Oh, but Pastor, something else come up. And you try calling them again. And guess what? They don't answer the phone. Or if you run across them in the store, oh, they'll hold their head down. They'll try to squirm away from you. They'll try to give you an excuse. But they're putting it off. But see, Cornelius didn't put it off like many are doing today. Listen, folks, tomorrow, the most uncertain thing in the calendar is not a given. Oh, yeah, we may look at the calendar. Tomorrow is what? I don't know about y'all time zones, but here, tomorrow's going to be the 8th. But am I going to be guaranteed to wake up on the 8th? I don't know. Will you be guaranteed to wake up the next day when you go to bed? We don't know. Listen, tomorrow is uncertain. Today is the day of your salvation. Folks, look what the Bible says in verse 34, that Peter, he opened his mouth and proclaimed the gospel truth in a simple but clear message of the life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Very simple. Nothing complicated, nothing complex, nothing that went over their heads. Very simple, straightforward. You want to witness to someone today? Folks, look, all you need to do is tell them a little bit about the life of Christ, about his ministry, about his death, about his resurrection, and about ascension in Christ, and let them know that he died for their sins. That simple. And while Peter spoke these words about believing in Christ, the Bible also says in verse 44, listen to this now, listen. The Bible says in verse 44 that the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that were in that house which heard the word. Woo! Man, he came down and he touched some hearts big time. Woo! He did that to me. I know he did it to you. But are we keeping that fire alive that we once had when we first encountered him? Is the flame still burning the same today as it was the first time you encountered him? I'll let you think about that one. With Cornelius alone with others in that household today, look what happened. They believed. They believed, my friends, and was saved. Whoo! Just like me, just like you, Cornelius found a new life that day. He was born again. He was a new creation. Now, the Bible says creature, but I kind of say creation. He was made new. The old things passed away. He became a brand new man. There was now peace in his life, just like us. We were so distraught and messed up. Folks, we had no peace. But when we said yes to Jesus, peace came. And peace like he never experienced before. He was given peace and forgiveness by the Prince of Peace. You see, my friends, there is no peace if Christ is left out. This man had a position. He had power. He had wealth. He had family. He had friends and servants. But with all this, he had it all. And many people we encounter there, I got it all. I have everything I need. And sometimes when I hear that, I say, okay, let me ask you. You say, you got everything you need? Oh, yes, sir, Jim, I sure do. Well, do you have Jesus? And they look at you like, what? They give you that funny little look. And I shake my head as apparently you don't have it all. And just like Cornelius, he had a position, he had power, he had the wealth, he had family, he had friends, he had servants. But see, just like him and many I talk to today, they have no peace. There's no pardon or forgiveness of sin, my friends, without Christ. You can have all the money in the world, cars, home, power, positions, friends, prestige. But guess what? You got no peace. And yet, if you passed away, if you died, you ain't seen the worst of it yet. So I believe that Cornelius, Paul, Nicodemus, and a host of many others will all agree. And they probably will say this. And, you know, maybe, I don't know what's going to happen when we get to heaven, but right now, if we was to meet them right now, they would all agree and probably would tell us that we are not saved by works. We are not saved by works. Least any man should boast. Let any man should not boast. We are not saved by works, my friends. Eternal life, my friends, is the gift of God. And that's given to us freely. We don't earn it. We don't get it by works. We don't buy it. We don't try to do good deeds or whatever. That's given to us freely. But give it to those who come humbly seeking him, that which could never be received any other way. And what I'm trying to say is right here, my friends,
You can only be saved when you humble yourself and realize, I am a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and I cannot save myself. It's going to have to take you, Lord, to pull me out of that cesspool of a rotten pit. Because without you, I'm going to hell. So save me. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Again, like I said, Cornelius, Paul, and Nicodemus, and many others in the Bibles, they would corroborate the statement I just made, that we are not saved by works. At least any man should boast. Friends, eternal life is the gift of God, but it is only given to those who know their need. Listen to this. I hope you heard that. It is only given to those who know their need. And I think you understand what I'm saying. To those who come humbly, seeking from Him that which could never be received in any other way. There are many Cornelius in the churches today. They are men and women that are righteous in their walk, revering their love for God, and are renewed in their worship. They are. But every now and then, and this is why I do this a lot myself, every now and then, friends, you and I, we need to pause for a minute and think about how He brought us out of sin. When's the last time that you sat down and paused for a minute in your life and thought about how Jesus brought you from death into life? Think about how we need to step back. Think about it. Think about how we need to step back in order to get to the next level. Now, if you've been wondering why you've been kind of stagnant or seem like nothing seems to be moving in your life, or it just seemed like, you know, hey, you're just kind of stuck in a rut, back up a little bit. Pause for a minute. Step back to see what you got to do to get to that next level. Even though God found favor in Cornelius, Cornelius found out that he needed more than what people were saying about him. He realized it just like that day, which is going to be coming up Halloween night this month, October 31st, 15 years ago. I found out what I needed more than what people were saying. I needed Jesus. Because my pastor friend that I'm under right now, that I'm helping in his current church, he was the one that posed the question to me. He said, Jim, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And folks, I heard the warning. I heard the message. I read the word. Sat in these Sunday school classes. And I knew it then. According to everything that was said, I am damned and heading for hell. I was separated from God. And he told me, he said, but you know what? We can settle this issue tonight. And I said, what must I do? And he explained to me about what salvation was all about. And just like Cornelius, he found out about what keeping the law was good. He knew all about keeping the law. He knew it was good. But folks, he found out knowing Jesus was even priceless. He would find out that keeping the Sabbath day holy was good, but when he is introduced to Jesus, whoo, like him and like us, we should want to keep every day holy. We, my friends, should want to keep every day holy in all lives. Because just like Peter says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, I preached on this last night about the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You are the temple of the living God himself. So you, my friends, and I'm not trying to condemn no one because, again, we're not under condemnation. But if you're the vessel of the Holy Spirit, you should be holy every day in your lives. And if you're not and you're allowing things to get into it or you're not quite doing something right, you need to step back and start saying, you know what, Lord, maybe there are some things in my life that I need to tighten up. Because we, my friends, have the best gift of all, God himself within us. And he is holy, and God demands top standards. We should die to ourselves and just allow ourselves to be submitted to him and his authority, and let us start being more like Jesus every day. You see, I was reminded by this to try to wrap this up in this part right here, and I came across this article where John Newton once said, and I like this quote, though, how he quoted it. John Newton once said, "When I get to heaven, I shall see three wonders there. I shall see three wonders there. The first wonder will be to see many people there whom I did not expect to see." Wow. The second wonder he said that he should see would be to miss many people whom I didn't expect to see. And the third and greatest wonder of all will be, and I love this, the third and the greatest wonder of all will be to find myself there. Wow. To find myself there. My friends, it is by grace, by God's grace, and not by our goodness that we are saved. And all people, no matter how good they are, must enter by God's grace, or they won't enter at all. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, as I just reminded just now this last statement, it is by your grace and your grace alone that allowed me to be saved through your Son Jesus of what he did at the cross. It's not by my own deeds. It's not by my own works. It's not by my own doing. It's all was done by you. Oh, thank you, Father, saving me from that wrath that's going to be poured out upon others. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say yes and be reconciled back to you. And my hope is, just like John Newton said, the third and greatest wonder is to find myself there. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I just hope, Father, that I'm not fallen or separated, or I'm just been going along with the flow. I hope not. Oh, God, please don't let it be like this. I don't want it to be like this. I know what Jesus did for me. Let me be there with you. Help me do better in my life. Help me get it right. And Father, again, as I've been telling you, if there are changes that need to be made within me, then do it. There's some things I said and done the past few days. I should never have said that. Oh, Lord, I should never said that. That's not what I am or what I'm supposed to be. And Father, I ask you to make me a better and loving husband to my wife. Make me a much more humble man and be a better servant to you. And help me understand that I must put myself aside in order to live for you. This is all I ask. So I thank you again for giving me the opportunity to present this message to these kind folks here tonight. Speak to their hearts and show them things they need to do too. So Father, we want to praise you, glorify you, and give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.